This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is the Dust Bowl Revival. This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm joined today by Zach Lupitan. How are you doing?
Very good.
Great to have you on the program. We'll tell listeners right away we are backstage at the Top Hat in Missoula. So
air conditioning vents
right above us. But it's a comfy room here, very well lit with the Edison light, kind of a little bit of a moody feel to it, I think. And we're here to interview Zach about the Dust Bowl Revival, and dustbowlrevival.com is the name of the website, and the Dust Bowl Revival is also the most recent recording, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
It's very self-explanatory.
Yeah, I think it is.
We, in some ways, couldn't come up with a cool title, but also wanted to sort of tell people that this is the sound that we've sort of finally discovered, almost. You know,
oh, okay. So there's
the band's been around for a little bit, and we really focused in, and this newest record is really our sound, whereas I think in a lot of some of the previous recordings we've done, we're paying homage to a lot of different styles because we have an 8-piece band with a brass section, a string section. It's a kind of a mini folk orchestra. And so we can kind of shape shift in and out of a lot of genres. So in the past, you know, we've kind of paid homage to, you know, bluegrass and traditional gospel and blues and swing. And as we've sort of matured and kind of grown up together playing music, I think we found this really interesting mashup of soul and funk and folk music together. That's been really fun.
Yeah, I would agree. I think you do a great job with that. And that kind of leads me to my first question. And that is, it seems to me that in particular horns seem to be finding a home in all different types of genres these days. And just the balance between string instruments and horns and winds. Was that a purposeful decision from the get-go when you put the band together? In terms of an overall sound and overall energy that you were looking for with the group?
I think, you know, the brass has always been something that I've loved, you know, from going to big band concerts with my grandparents and listening to Benny Goodman albums and stuff like that, where you had this big sort of brash sound. And when I discovered, you know, the musical traditions of New Orleans and that stuff, it was a very intoxicating thing. And I always joke with kind of roots bands that are starting to add horns now, as a band that's always had it, that it's like, careful what you wish for. Like, it's an addiction having horns. Like, you want them on everything, you know, because it kind of makes people get up out of their seats and really pay attention. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, we have the fiddle and the mandolin that have this really earthy sort of interconnected harmonies that they play together. But also in this last record, and as we start to evolve past that, they've gotten almost even more funky than the rest of the band.
The string players.
Yeah, they got
That's interesting. Wah-wah
pedals going and all sorts of...
Of course they do.
You know, Leslie organ simulator, you know, stuff going on. So people don't even know that it's a fiddle. They think it's an organ or a electric guitar, or, you know, and it kind of can bend and sway with the rhythm, which is really cool.
Well, and it seems like those instruments in and of themselves represent things even beyond the sounds that they make. You know what I'm saying? When you see a band with a mandolin, initially, you know, you're going to have a very distinct thought as to what that's going to connotate. And then with horns as well. And it sounds like even within the instruments, you are kind of pushing the boundaries of what those instruments do and hence what you do with the music. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think sometimes you don't even know you're pushing the boundaries until you sort of realize it years later. Because it's, again, if we've sort of been doing this on our own, where you have the horns playing kind of delicate folk backing track, you know, stuff, and then you have the mandolin playing dirty funk rhythms, and you don't really assume that a fiddle and mandolin are going to be a funk section, because you're like, oh, well, they're a bluegrass instrumentation or something like that. And it's kind of selling those instruments short. And also a trombone can be very delicate and very nuanced.
Sure, of course.
You know, or it can blow your hair back, you know, it kind of depends. But we, you know, kind of do our own thing, which I think is fun, but it's also a little lonely out there sometimes, where you don't necessarily find your musical family right away, because we get put in a lot of bluegrass and folk festivals, which is amazing, but also feels a bit out of place sometimes. And some of the more blues and jazz festivals won't include us because they're like, well, they look like a folk band. Why would we put them in there? Huh. And so we're like, come on, give us a shot. We can do both. I could have loved you if you let me. I could have loved you.
This is John Floridus. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm speaking today with Zach Lupitan backstage at the Top Hat in Missoula. We're talking with Zach about his band, the Dust Bowl Revival. Before we get any further, we should probably run down the other members of the band.
Yeah, so Liz Beebe is my partner in crime on vocals, and she plays some ukulele. Josh Heffernan playing the drums. James Klopfleisch on bass. Matt Rubin on trumpet. Ulf Bjorlin plays the trombone. Daniel Mark plays the mandolin. And Connor Vance plays the crazy fiddle.
Through wah-wah pedals and
you know, I don't even know what he's doing anymore. It's the pedal board is growing across the stage.
Well,
His name is the Compensator.
The Compensator, yeah.
A little help from the peanut gallery over there. Zach, we talked about the overall sound of the band and some of the kind of the textures and flavors that you're working with. We didn't really talk about how the band came together.
Yeah, you read about bands that have this sort of big beginning and they put out their first album's a big hit and it's this whole plan, you know, with a record label. Ours was like completely the opposite. It was a Craigslist ad that I put out.
I've had a few guests on the show who've come together through Craigslist.
I was working in advertising in LA. I'd moved out there, didn't know a whole lot of people. The band started as this sort of accident of people just coming together at my advertising office, playing old folk songs and some of the tunes I was working on, playing crappy bars around Southern California. Kind of grew from there. People really were supportive, and you know, people say LA is this cold industry town that is impossible to get people to show up, but they encouraged us. You know, all these people came to the shows and they were like, you know, this is special, this is cool. And we started kind of branching out to, you know, San Francisco and Chicago, where some of us are from originally. And but, you know, initially I was doing all the booking, and I had a fake name that I would use as a manager. It was like Roger Johnston III or something, and I was like talking up this band that barely existed.
I like, you know, the third on the end there.
Yeah,
that's
like
good.
Like begging for like some bar gig, you know, out in the desert somewhere.
Outstanding.
But I think like music is an obsession for me, so it's not something that I almost even have a choice in doing anymore, and I really wanted it to work. And then eventually I got laid off from my job, and it was like, okay, game on.
Zach, hearing you talk about the band and the different roles that sometimes different members will take, that kind of leads me to the question about just how have you been able to keep it going for 10 years?
You know, the good thing is that we all started, a lot of us started playing in this band when we were pretty young and inexperienced in some way. You know, it's, I like to say that being ignorant is actually a plus when you're starting a band, because I had no idea how difficult it was to tour the country with eight people. It was just like, okay, let's just get some flights and rent a van, and here we go, you know? And we had all sorts of support from, you know, our families and fans, and there were some donors that helped, and it takes a village. I mean, it's cliche, mm-hmm. but it really takes sort of people being there for you. You know, we're learning all the time how to try to be more efficient, try to not kill ourselves traveling so much, but also to build a fan base, because you have to get out there and win the hearts and minds. You know, we're in Montana to
win our hearts and minds,
but really to gain a whole new group of people who sure. are moved by this music. And the few times we've been up here, it's been super fun and super gratifying. We played a show in Big Sky in August that was among the best crowds we've ever played for. The energy in that crowd, you know, that's when you have the best job in the world, mm-hmm. right? It can feel like you have the worst job in the world when no one comes to a show, but,
right.
you know, playing songs that you wrote, you know, in your underwear at home in front of 500 people going crazy, it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
I recommend it.
Zach, I wanted to ask you, when you hear the tracks from this most recent recording titled The Dust Bowl Revival, when you hear those tracks and then you go back and listen to the tracks from your debut recording, you're snickering a little bit. I'm not saying that to bring that up in terms of like, well, how, you know, but just more like how that journey has evolved. Can you hear the growth of the group?
Oh, yeah.
Beyond just, well, this was our first recording and this is now our most recent one, but just the growth in the music itself.
Yeah, I think some of it is learning on the job, right? Where in many ways you're constantly going through that thing of being a enthusiastic amateur to being a somewhat knowledgeable pro.
Sure.
And there's always a little bit of both, right? Because for me, there's certain songs in the album that took months, even after we recorded it, for me to learn how to play well, you know? And, you know, a song like Honey, I Love You, which is on the record, had a completely different rhythm for a long time when we started playing it. And it was fun, but it was kind of stale. And then we updated it and added this sort of bouncy, more Al Green kind of sexiness to it, and then Keb Mo's guitar, and it's a completely different song than the thing that you initially wrote in your bedroom. But the problem is that your brain sometimes doesn't catch up, because your brain's like, wait, I learned the version in the bedroom.
Yeah.
You know? And so now you have to actually reteach yourself your own song. But it also is a better song now.
Sure.
You know, and it takes years sometimes for you to even like your own work. Because I think you obsess about it and grind it out, and then you don't want to hear it ever again. And there's a lot of artists like that who they create it, they set it into the world, and that's good enough. And that's a very zen way to be. And I actually would love to be more like that, but I tend to... I read the reviews, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
Because I also am a writer, and I write reviews, you know? I almost, I like music criticism.
As an art form.
As an art form, just to see what they would say about something you created.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it's a bad review, if it's well written,
yeah,
I'm like, that guy's got a point.
Uh-huh.
You know? It's fun to be slapped in the face a little bit, because it wakes you up a little bit. You're like, wow, all right.
You say
So Zach, you're traveling around the country, some around the world too, as I recall. You're going overseas a little bit with an 8-member band. Talk about just some of the dynamics. What do you guys do for fun? Do you have to kind of get some space from each other? Do you all hang out? If we're seeing Dust Bowl Revival in, I don't know, Asheville, North Carolina or something, are you guys all hanging out? We see all 8 members like walking down the street.
There's a good salon where we get our hair cut.
Yeah.
Some of the guys in Asheville.
I don't doubt it for a second.
Yeah, you know, we've adopted this travel method of the 2-minivan approach, the slow van and the fast van. Or you could be said the scenic van or the fast van. It kind of allows us to have a little more freedom. And because sometimes some people want to go back to the hotel. Some people want to hang out and drink at the venue and see friends and family. We have a day off. We'll definitely try to go on a hike or outdoor stuff is definitely appreciated. Some of us are beach bums. So if there's a body of water, I'm jumping in it usually. Good food is, you know, the best sort of perk of this job is you get to really experience some amazing stuff that you wouldn't normally eat.
Yeah.
You know, and I love good local food, and there's a lot of Yelp competition within the band. You know, it's like, well, this place has 4.5 stars and it's serving Haitian food out of a, you know, back of a truck. You know, this place has 4.5 stars and it's serving barbecue, you know, southern barbecue, you know.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, we're in Montana. Should we be eating southern
bison
barbecue? You know.
Right. Exactly. Well, listeners, if you're hearing a little mandolin warming up in the background, we mentioned we are backstage at the Top Hat in Missoula. As we are recording this, speaking with Zach Lupitan of the Dust Bowl Revival, and the Dust Bowl Revival is the name of their most recent recording. Dust Bowl Revival without the. Just DustBowlRevival.com is the name of the website where folks can go to and find out more about what's going on with the band. And it's been a pleasure talking shop with you. Thanks so much for making time for us here on Musician Spotlight.
Thanks for talking to me.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been the Dust Bowl Revival. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter. Our program is available as a downloadable podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. Special thanks to Logjam Presents for this interview. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.